Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking around what the recent price hikes in terms of electricity actually mean for, you know, consumers, for people's pockets and actual spending on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, who better to speak to than the people that we are entrusting with some of our money. And for today, we are joined by one of, you know, South Africa's biggest banking groups, that is FNB. And to help us to unpack what's actually going on that front, we are joined by Rob Gwerengwe, who is the CEO of the middle market segment at FNB. Rob, greetings to you.
I'm Mudiwa, and greetings to your listeners. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for being with us. I think we've actually had you on before. I remember we had you on with Pilani at some point, but for today, it's just you. I think just as a recap for people that may not be familiar entirely with how the bank works, who are you specifically looking after when it comes to your middle market segment?
Thanks, Mario. And you're right. I have been on your podcast before, and I guess the fact that I'm invited again is a good indication. but in the middle market, we focus on customers earning between 120,000 and 300,000 rand a year, and that's a big chunk of the population in South Africa.
And when you look at the recent electricity tariff increases, I guess we expect some of these things to happen all the time. But, you know, from where you're standing, how deep is this issue?
Listen, Mario, I think it is really, really concerning for me just looking at our customers, because for our customers, that the electricity cost has gone up for them by 15% year on year. So, I mean, we track the data and look at the spend. And the 15% for our customers who are already stretched have been, if you look at the parts of the market that have had the hardest hits in terms of the COVID impact, where some dual income households became single income households, people didn't get salary increases, people got salary cuts. That part of the market has been hit the hardest. We've got data that shows that. So when you add the tariff hikes, however small they may seem to other people, I mean, it will have a dire impact on our customers. And then who's to say what the downstream impacts are? Because there's obviously inflationary pressures that are brought about by electricity hikes as well.
One of the things I was quite curious to maybe understand is because I did receive some data, you know, from your team, and it just shows how because of the tariff increase that you've just highlighted, you know, different segments, people are paying, you know, let's say 9%, you know, in the entry level market. I think, you know, we're looking at 15% in the mass affluent market, all of that. What actually accounts for those differences? Because I guess one would think that if there's a 15% increase in electricity, that everyone is paying 15% more for electricity.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I think if you look at the entry versus middle as a start, what you find is that there is still, in certain instances, a free allocation that you get, and then obviously it then ratchets up. And the more electricity you buy, it gets slightly more expensive. So for those guys that are closer to, I guess, the bottom in terms of consumption and use, they will feel that slightly less, if that makes sense, than, I guess, in the middle. And for middle market customers, they're already using, I guess, as little electricity as possible, because they really have been impacted negatively in the last sort of couple of years. So they'll feel it a little bit more.
Would you say people, you know, at the moment, because we're talking a lot, you know, in this digitalized world, in this COVID-19 world, in this, you know, lockdown world, pandemic-stricken world, we talk a lot about working from home and changes in consumer behavior and all of that. Has this period in any way I guess, affected the way that people are spending money on things like electricity?
Yeah, also, I think that the more time you spend at home, the more electricity you use. I mean, we see that even school holidays have higher consumption than non-school holidays because kids and family are more at home. So it certainly would have meant that there are higher costs. We would expect that to be offset slightly by, I guess, saving on transport and transport costs to go in and out of work. So you would hope that that is sort of net neutral for customers. But certainly your daily run costs for your household do increase based on this new way of working, which I think, you know, even as the COVID threat reduces, as we get the vaccinations happening, we're not going to go back to what things were a year or two ago. There is a new normal, which will mean more consumption of stuff like electricity at home.
And when it comes to, you know, that consumption, and you're looking at all of those trends and the buying patterns that people are having, I know that a lot of people buy electricity through a banking app or, you know, other platforms and stuff like that. From a banking point of view, what have you guys actually seen? You know, has this stuff started to translate yet? You know, because some of these things may have been recent and you start seeing the effects, you know, a bit later or sooner, depending on, you know, who the person is. What have you guys been seeing from the bank?
Yeah, so I mean, from the bank's perspective, I mean, we track that data very regularly. So we are on top of the trends in terms of our customer spend trends, because we obviously need to make sure we are delivering the best solutions to meet customer needs. And customer needs, you can see a lot of it by what customers are spending their money on. So we've seen that increase. I mean, for a middle market customer, from sort of about 450-460 rand a month in spend on electricity to about 525 rand, which is substantial, particularly in that part of the market. And what we've also tried to do now is to try and bring in a couple other things to help customers. So we have the eBucks reward system, and with your eBucks you can purchase electricity. So in the last year we've seen close to 5 million rand worth of eBucks used to buy electricity. And that's part of how we're trying to help customers, because like I've mentioned, I mean, we're really worried about the financial well-being of our customers. We offer money management tips to our customers to help. I mean, we've launched a budgeting tool that helps track by type of spend, amount of spend, sends alarms to you just to help customers stay afloat, particularly as things get tougher.
As you're talking, there's a bit of a curiosity that's coming to me, and I'm wondering, are people incurring debt to pay for electricity? I think, you know, one would think that people have money to pay for something as basic as electricity, but like you said, the last year has been very tough on a lot of South Africans, and, you know, before the pandemic even struck, you know, people's pockets were already stretched, and for people to start leaning, you know, so heavily on things like, you know, on products like eBucks, etc. Does that point to perhaps a trend where people might be looking at some type of credit or some type of similar solutions when it comes to buying, you know, basic goods like electricity?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a very good question. So when we look at eBucks, I mean, we look very positively on customers that utilize eBucks to supplement their day-to-day income, because that's obviously a reward we give them. It's not debt. It's nothing they need to repay. It's something for them to utilize as they see fit. And we try and help our customers to earn as many eBucks as they can to supplement their income in that way. We have, however, seen a trend that is worrying, which is, I guess, more customers utilizing credit for what seems like day-to-day expenses. And I mean, it's not a new story in South Africa, but I think given what's happened over the last 12 to 18 months, it's a trend that does worry us, and it's something that we continue to monitor on a daily basis. And that's why, you know, this money management story and just trying to help our customers as best as we can is really something that we're trying to drive quite hard in the bank.
That then leads to, I guess, you know, one of those tough questions, because in some ways it's like asking for you to look inside a crystal ball. But if the country's own recovery is set to, you know, take as long as some economists say, you know, 2024, 2025, etc. I think one of the things we don't often talk about is what does it mean for, you know, households? Because just because the country itself, you know, I guess recovers or claws back to where it was before the pandemic does not necessarily mean that consumers or people on the ground will necessarily be at that stage by that time. So where do you see things, I guess, going from that point of view? Because you do mention, you know, the fact that people are starting to rely on things like credit for day-to-day spending, which, you know, according to a lot of financial advisors out there, they would warn against, you know, such things. But we are in tough times.
Yeah, so look, I think it's difficult to focus too far into the future, but I am an optimist, and I'm optimistic for a few reasons. I think if you look at Finance Minister Tito Mboweni's budget, you know, I think there are some really encouraging signs there, some tax breaks given to try and add a little bit more money into people's pockets. There's talk of some infrastructure development and projects. And for as long as those are well managed, they will create employment. And obviously that money then circulates in the economy. So I am optimistic that for as long as we follow this path, because it's not just what can institutions like ourselves do to help our customers, which we're doing a lot and more. It's a systemic consideration. All elements that are part of the economy must work together to try and get this machine turning. And if we do, which I hope that we will, I think we can definitely turn the tide.
Another curiosity that then comes out of such a conversation, and especially the income bracket that you're talking about, is that, you know, one of the things that's come out of the pandemic is that in addition to all of these, I guess, life-altering events that have happened over the last year, things are still turning on the ground, which is why you still see, you know, hikes in electricity prices, because at the end of the day, the national utility has to keep its own lights on. And in keeping lights on in people's houses, people have been turning towards, you know, side hustles, side incomes, you know, that type of thing. From a banking point of view, has that affected in any way the profile of the 120 to 300,000 customer in any way? I'm just wondering, because so many people right now, wherever you look, everyone has a thing that they're doing. Does that affect the profile of the customer that you guys are serving as a bank?
Yeah, so any additional income will help, right? However small, that contribution makes a difference in the end. And actually, as a bank, part of what we've done is we are encouraging our customers to get into the side hustle world. So if you are, I mean, we have actually some employees. I've got someone in my team who is a project manager, but is a really, really talented makeup artist. And she started doing some of that as a side hustle, earning a little bit of money to supplement and to help family as well. And that's incredible. So we've got masterclasses that we show. We invite our customers to come watch the masterclasses. We have subject matter experts talking about how you can do that. And we're also trying to connect now some of the businesses we have on our business banking side to our customers who have skills to do small jobs and I guess get into the side hustle world. So we're really trying to create those ecosystems that can add more into our customers' pockets, but also add value across into the smaller SMEs.
Would it be too much of a stretch to then think or assume that in your range, you probably have a lot of, let's say, young or entry-level professionals, you know, that type of thing, but that with side hustles, maybe the extra income in some cases might push, you know, some of the people that you're serving into maybe a higher bracket, or maybe people that were traditionally going to be served by what was called easy back in the day, now being served by, I guess, yours? Because I can imagine that would then change in some ways the type of messaging or products that you guys are offering to your specific segment.
Yeah, so I mean, to date, we haven't seen those big shifts. I think, you know, for customers to earn enough on side hustles consistently to move out of certain income brackets is quite tough. So we certainly aren't pushing this as, I mean, it would be great if people can move income brackets, but this is really how you supplement incomes. And then for others, it can actually become the main thing that you do. Or it can become something that moves you into a new income bracket. But for the vast majority, it's just how can you earn a little bit more to help as things, become a little bit more difficult as things get a bit more expensive.
Because we're having such a conversation around, you know, people's finances, their pockets, what you're spending on electricity, you know, literally looking with a fine comb at what people are spending their money on. Do you think people are now taking their financial education a little bit more seriously just because of, you know, what has happened? Because you did mention earlier on that you guys are offering, some services around, you know, helping people manage their finances. Are people really taking that up, or are people still thinking that they can manage their finances by themselves?
So the numbers are definitely ticking up, Dio. So we are seeing more interest. I think it's a combination of people realizing that it wouldn't be a bad idea to get some help and some outside-in perspectives. It's also, I think, a function of the work from home where, a lot of people aren't spending the two-hour one-way commutes to work, so it's easier to find time to fit this in. So I think it's a combination of factors, but certainly we are encouraged by the uptick. Still slower than we would want, but I mean, we would prefer that everyone was on this journey, right? But it will take time.
All right. Now, as we end off the discussion, you did say earlier on that you are an optimist. So I guess any other things that you are optimistic about in this conversation?
Look, I'm optimistic that there will be more uptake in terms of the money management type conversations that we have. I'm more optimistic that we will get more e-bucks into more customers' pockets, and that there'll be a greater understanding of that value. I think I'm more optimistic about the fact that people will spend time understanding the value that they get from where they bank, because it's not just about what's the fee, that the monthly fee that you pay, because, you know, as you know, a bank can tell you it's a zero monthly fee, but at the end of the month, you find you're paying a lot more than others. But it's around just, let's make sure customers look around, make sure they get the best value. It's, for me, it's a value conversation, because in that, you're able to actually unlock something that can be quite positive for you. So I'm very optimistic that we're headed into a market where there is more of a consideration around that, which is where we play. So maybe in a few months' time, we'll have another conversation with you, and I'll be telling you about how my prediction is hopefully coming true.
Now, we certainly hope that prediction does come true, and we look forward to having that conversation, because that's been us with Rob Guerengwe, who is the CEO of the middle market segment at FNB, giving us some insight into what's happening with some of the consumer spending trends that they're seeing as a bank. We started off the conversation talking about the recent 15% increase in electricity tariffs for the 2021-2022 financial year, and what that has actually meant for different segments of the South African economy, and specifically for FNB, the segment that Rob is looking after. He's saying that people are stretched, they're already stretched, and now spending just that amount of money extra on electricity is straining things even more. A lot of two-income households households have become one income households. A lot of one income households have become no income households. So there's a lot of strain, and they're working as, you know, as much as they can, to, you know, I guess, ease, what's actually going on. But more importantly, one of the sort of more alarming trends is the fact that, people seem to be relying more and more on credit, when it comes to some of the day-to-day expenditure. But he's saying that he's hopeful that, you know, this time has actually done a lot to make people take care of and think about, their finances in a wiser way. Rob, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. Great conversation. Thank you.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
I'd have to say that I am most concerned, from the conversation, as I think is quite clear, just around how people seem to be relying more and more on credit and debt, for day-to-day expenditure, because usually you think of, you know, debt for bigger purchases or bigger items in life, but the current economic situation has necessitated, the need for, you know, some of those, especially short-term credit, products from a lot of people, in the informal markets, loan sharking, you know, all of that, you know, on the rise, simply because people do need, you know, that extra bit of cash to help them to, you know, go on. And that then points to, that whole thing of, the recovery, right? We always talk about the macroeconomic recovery of South Africa. The country is going to be growing at X amount, and it will take, you know, we'll have an L-shaped or a V-shaped recovery. And, by 2023-24, we would have, you know, gone back to where we were before, lockdown came into effect. But for the normal people on the ground, for households, for the families that literally make up, South Africa, those are the microeconomies that I think a little bit more care and attention needs to be paid attention to, simply because, you know, those households are taking on more financial strain, but, in turn taking on more, you know, some of these debt products. For today, we were talking specifically about people that are banking with FNB, but, outside of, the people that are banking with this specific bank, what's happening, in the other banks? That's the first one. But what's happening with people that aren't even banked, or people that are not taking advantage, of their bank? One of the things I liked that, Rob said was the fact that, you know, people need to evolve to that place where you have a better relationship with your bank, so that it's not just a place where you go to deposit and withdraw money. You can actually, you know, gain value, you know, from that banking relationship. And if your, current bank doesn't give you that value, you know, you go to where you're going to get that value, because if ever there was a time that people needed to derive value from banking institutions, financial houses, etc., the time is now. But, you know, on a positive note, you know, that last point, made by Rob does, you know, does bode well, simply because, you know, one hopes that as terrible as this time has been, that, you know, as consumers, people will be able to walk away at least a little bit wiser about their finances, so that we can, you know, go on to have, you know, a generation, at least for our generation, a generation that is, really concerned about, you know, building wealth and, you know, just making smarter financial decisions. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That is under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.